I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today's story is taken from the website of Pastor John Hagee. It's entitled Beliefs. First, the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God. John, Jews don't believe in the deity of Jesus. Muslims don't believe in the deity of Jesus. The same is true of both Hindus and Buddhists. Non-believers don't believe in the deity of Jesus. In fact, after 2,000 years of intense missionary effort, your invisible ghost has only been able to convince less than one-third of the Earth's inhabitants to worship him. That's not too impressive for someone who's supposed to be all-powerful, is it? What do you think it is that is holding back his popularity? His outdated clothing? His outdated barbaric morals? Or the many confessions in his autobiography of mass murder? John wrote, "We believe in his substitutionary death for all men." John, that's a great message to send to our children. Let someone else pay the penalty for your mistakes and sins. Is that really the message you want to send to our kids? Well, I guess you just answered that question, didn't you? He wrote, "Jesus' resurrection, John, many other zombies rose from their graves when he did. So what's the big deal?" He continues, "And his eventual return to judge the world." John, it's hard to believe you are a pastor when you make mistakes like that one. Jesus himself said that he judges no man. Now he discusses salvation. "We believe all men are born with a sinful nature." John, the main problem with that statement is that you people consider normal human behavior as sinful, yet your holy book not only allows, but even encourages despicable, violent behavior. He wrote, "And that the work of the cross was to redeem man from the power of sin." John, it's too bad that God never figured out the concept of forgiveness. That would have been a million times easier than that whole cross fiasco. He wrote, "We believe that this salvation is available to all who will receive it." John, unfortunately, that requires submission to the Christian God. If you read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you can see why not many people would be thrilled by that prospect. Now he discusses the Holy Spirit. "We believe in the existence of the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity and in his interaction with man." So John, why do you ghost worshippers call your religion monotheistic? If they hired one more guy, they could play both sides of a beach volleyball tournament. John wrote, "We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit as manifested by the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit." John, you lost me on that one. But as long as that made sense to you, I guess that's all that matters. Next subject is the sacred scripture. "We believe in the Scripture as the inspired Word of God, and that it is the complete revelation of God's will for mankind." John, you would have been better off not trying to hang the writing of the Bible on God. He contradicts himself every time he starts a new verse. If you admit that men wrote it, at least that lets God off the hook. He said, "We believe in the absolute authority of the Scripture to govern the affairs of men." Well, John, our laws don't agree. We don't allow capital punishment for minor religious offenses, like those found in the Ten Commandments. In case that wasn't clear enough for you, let me rephrase. Our government told your God to shove his commandments up his invisible ass. Next subject, stewardship. "We believe that every man is the steward of his life and resources which ultimately belong to God." John, much of the global warming denial comes from ghost worshippers. So it would seem that you don't believe that we should be stewards of the Earth's resources. That proves that when it comes down to choosing between God and the rich boys, you guys show your true stripes every time. The best example of that is how fundamentalist American Christians have turned against the Pope after he chastised them for their support of rich conservatives and their climate denial tactics. Like I said, John, for you fundamentalists, God loses every time. He wrote, "We believe that tithing is a measure of obedience to the scriptural principles of stewardship." John, you can't even write a short essay without inserting an appeal for money. You people are so predictable. One way you know immediately if you are on a religious website is that the donate button is always right there on top, where visitors can't miss it. I wouldn't be surprised if you had one of those donate icons that followed the reader down the page as they scrolled. You people are utterly shameless. That hand is always out. And then you people have the nerve to criticize social programs that help the poor. I believe you call them entitlements. The most unchristian people you will find anywhere on earth are fundamentalist Christians. Now he talks about the church. "We believe in the church as the eternal and universal body of Christ, consisting of all those who have accepted the work of the atonement. We believe in the need for a local assembly of believers for the purpose of evangelism and edification." John, and don't forget the most important part of all, the tithing. Next topic. Prayer and praise. "We believe in the worship of the Lord through singing, clapping, and the lifting of hands. We believe in the authority of the believer to ask freely of the Lord for his needs." Well, John, you can always ask, but except for a few delusionals, the answer is always dead silence. Just ask any amputee. Next, body ministry. "We believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the church body through the anointing of oil by the elders of the church." Sure, John, why not? For delusional ghost worshippers, those kinds of rituals actually seem to add credibility to all your nonsense. Next, evangelism. "We believe that evangelism is the obligation of every follower of Jesus Christ." John, Muslims feel the same way. The bad news is that Islam is kicking your ass. While Christianity is crashing worldwide, Islam is actually growing and is projected to pass Christianity as the world's largest religion by the turn of the century. That's this century, John. He wrote, "The Lord commands us to go out and make disciples of all the earth." John, just a word of advice. You might want to tell your missionaries to steer clear of Islamic nations. Even God won't go in there. He said, "We believe that each person is first responsible to evangelism in their own family as the Holy Spirit leads them and gives them the ability." John, I've seen that in action. Fundamentalist Christians will disown their own flesh and blood because they have more loyalty to an invisible ghost than they do to their own children. That's just one of the horrors of your religion, John. It turns otherwise good people into monsters. But then again, why shouldn't it? After all, John, you worship a brutal, murdering, torturing ghost. So what else would you expect? Next topic, water baptism. "We believe in the ordinance of water baptism by immersion in obedience to the Word of God." John, if you had any more useless rituals, you could just rejoin the Catholics. He wrote, "All those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior should be baptized in water as a public profession of their faith in Christ and to experience what the Bible calls the circumcision of the Spirit." John, circumcision, yet another disgusting ritual in which you provide your invisible ghost with a souvenir by cutting off the end of the kid's dick. You people are absolutely fucking sick. Next, our commitment to Israel. We believe in the promise of Genesis 12:3 regarding the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. John, just one small problem. The Israel in Genesis disappeared long ago. The Israel that currently exists was created in 1948, so Genesis could not be referring to the same country. He wrote, "We believe that this is an eternal covenant between God and the seed of Abraham, to which God is faithful." John, how can there be an eternal covenant when the earth itself is not eternal? Remember when God said he would destroy the earth by fire? So the covenant with Israel could not possibly be eternal. And finally, he writes about the priesthood of the believer. We believe that every believer has a unique relationship to the Lord. John, that's true. Every believer suffers from a delusion, and God is that delusion. So yes, they do share a unique relationship. And he concludes by saying, as his children, every Christian has immediate access to the throne of grace and the ability to manifest the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in ministry. John, that sounded beautiful, poetic, almost majestic, but like everything else you've written, made almost no sense at all. John, I would like to think that there could be hope for people like you, but as a rational person, I know that I would just be fooling myself. Your whole life is invested in this quite lucrative venture. It has given you fame and fortune. So live out your life, John. Keep getting wealthier and fatter. But if polls are any indication, by the time you mercifully pass away, religion will be fading ever more rapidly into the twilight of history. Charlatans like you will be just a distant, sad memory that future humans will look back on and be glad that they weren't the ones who had to live through it. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story. Researchers find brain disease in 96% of deceased NFL players. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy, a degenerative brain disease, was found in 87 out of 91 deceased former NFL players, further strengthening the connection between football and serious brain problems later in life. Researchers found chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which causes depression, dementia, and memory loss, was also found in 79% of all players who played the sport at any level starting in high school. 40% of the players who tested positive for chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is only identifiable after death, were offensive and defensive linemen who crash into other players on every play. This fits with previous research that shows that it is the frequent, less serious head injuries that cause the disease, not the major concussions typically focused on. Following the publication of this study, the NFL released a statement saying that it is dedicated to making the sport safer through new technology and new rules. Between 2012 and 2014, concussions in NFL games were down 28%. And now we move to the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today we have an anonymous quote. In a cult, there's one person at the top who knows it's all bullshit. In a religion, that person is dead.
Are you ready, Bruce?